الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة على العباد الذين اصطفى ما بعد وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون وقال تعالى في مقام آخر والذين آمنوا واتبعتهم ذريتهم بإيمان ألحقنا بهم ذريتهم وما ألتناهم من عملهم من شيء وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما لعبدي المؤمنين جزاء إذا قبضت صفيه من أهل الدنيا ثم احتسبه إلا الجنة وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي أيها الإخوة brothers and elders and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in both good times and bad times, in both easy times and difficult times. We may go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the strength, inshallah ta'ala, to continue in this life and allow us, inshallah ta'ala, to go through the difficult moments with patience and forbearance, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah to give us strength and courage amongst the times that we feel are very taxing or very, very demanding on us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Muyassira kulli shay, yassirhu alayna, that whatever is, or the one who can make everything easy, when the one who can make everything easy, Allah make everything easy upon us in this life and the hereafter. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. This khutbah will come out, but this talk will come out a bit more difficult. And I just, because of the sudden loss that we just received in the morning, Brother Safraz's daughter, 2 years old, right? 2 years old daughter Aisha bint Safraz, she passed away in hospital today, in Nadayun al Rajiyan. So it comes out a bit difficult for me to even speak right now, so I'll just try my best, inshallah, to express a couple of words, inshallah. First and foremost, I want to remind myself and everyone here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created various bounties. Allah has created different ni'am that we receive. One of the greatest of all ni'amas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is having good company. Having good company is one of the ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people know it, and whoever has experienced it. And people can easily recognize that the family that we have, subhanAllah, has created within them the potential to be our worst enemies or our best friends. A person will find that subhanAllah, the family that they have, Allah has created within them these qualities which we dislike, and amongst our families are the people that we love the most. Allah has created these people with these qualities. With the bad qualities that Allah has given us within our families, Allah is testing us through them. And with the good qualities, Allah wants to remind them that on the deep down inside your heart, you love your father, you love your brother, you love your sister, you love your mother. This deep quality that you and I have is something that is intrinsic, it's built into human beings. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, and this is the reality of the matter, is that in Jannah subhanAllah, Allah removes all the bad qualities. Allah removes all the bad qualities. That way you only enjoy with your family in Jannah. There's only good company, there's only good times in Jannah. That's how Jannah was created. Allah Ta'ala says, إِخْوَانَ عَلَى سُرُرِ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. There'll be true brothers and sisters in Jannah. Well, they'll all be experiencing the company of one another. You'll notice in the Quran, many times the description of Jannah are like a dinner party. It's always with a da'wah. It's always talking about someone who's coming to someone's house and enjoying with all these servants and all these guests and all these mehman, because of the fact that Jannah is always, it's a crowded place of people you love. It's an enjoyable gathering at all times. And you notice on the flip side, Jahannam is what? Jahannam is a place of isolation. Khalidan fiha. In Jahannam, everyone hates each other. And no one wants to see each other. So you notice that the great ni'mah that Allah has given us is good company and is good family. To the point that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, and it's beautifully mentioned, إِذَا دَخَلَ الْرَجُلُ الْجَنَّةَ. When a man enters Jannah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this man will say, Ya Rabbi, I've entered Jannah. وَأَيْنَ أَبَوَايَ. Where is my father and my mother? وَأَيْنَ زَوْجَتِي. وَأَيْنَ أَوْلَادِي. Where is my children? Where is my wife? And he'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala will tell this person, you don't see them here. Say, Ya Allah, I don't see them here. Allah Ta'ala says, they were a bit lower than you in thawab and hasanat. They were a bit lower than you in thawab and hasanat. So what we're going to do is what? We're going to match them with you. that you have a higher place in Jannah. So what we'll do is we'll elevate everyone else's rank because of your rank in Jannah. That they were in lower places, but because you are higher, we're going to link everyone with you. It's obvious about parents. Parents is obvious. Because why? Parents took the time out to nourish and to raise their children. So perhaps their children have a higher status in Jannah, because everything a child does is the hasanat of his father and mother. That's always going to be the case. So for parents, it's obvious, right? That, okay, if they're lower, they're going to be raised. But as for children who are lower than you, children who are lower than you in Jannah, they don't have any right over your thawab and hasanat. They don't. Right? For the parents could say it, that we raised our children well, and this is my reminder to parents, that subhanAllah, don't take advantage and don't just lose the opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about parents that what? They have to raise their children with iman. When they raise their children with iman, Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah At-Tur, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّةٌ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Jannah is not Jannah without your children. Jannah is not Jannah without your children. So you will get what? Allah Ta'ala says, if a person is believing and he raises children upon iman, أَلْحَقَنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ, we will link their children with them in Jannah. We will link their children with them in Jannah. وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And don't worry, your good deeds will not decrease in the least. They'll be raised to you, because why? Because you can't experience Jannah and say, Ya Allah, where are my kids? But the shart and the responsibility on the parents is this. And I remind myself and everyone here, is that we are raising them to make sure they become an engineer or a doctor or someone who is good for the society. I strongly encourage you and remind you that if you are not raising them to become good Muslims, and then they have doubts about iman in their hearts, and they don't love Islam, they don't love the masjid, they don't love deen, then don't expect to find them in Jannah anymore. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand that. That we have to make sure that we raise them with iman. And if we're only sending them once a week, to give them an easy Islam, that okay, we'll send them for one day a week in a school, and then you know what, we'll pick them up before Dhuhr Salah, because we really just wanted them to learn how to read Quran. You could have just had an online teacher for that. You know, if you want them to learn Islam, let them be in the masjid, let them pray the Salah. If you really want them to benefit, inshallah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala made it the condition what? That if you are a person who believes, and raises your kid with iman, inshallah ta'ala, and you're having an Islamic household on the inside, and on the outside they're being Muslim, then don't worry, even if your children are lower, Allah ta'ala says we will raise them. We will raise them. We will bring them. We will connect you with them. And this is the reality of the matter, my brothers and elders and sisters in Islam. Is that what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He wants Jannah for all of us. He wants Jannah for all of us. And this world we live in is not a Jannah. This world we live in is not a paradise. It's not the heaven. What we want is what? We want this world to be a heaven. We just want good things. We just want good things. But this world we live in and exist in is a mixture of good and bad at all times. If you want to have life, if you want to have life without bad times, you are not living, you are lying. Okay? You are not living, you are lying. Life is about going through good and going through bad. Whenever we have a good time, we make hamd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we have a difficult time, we say, Allah, everything to you, everything belongs, and to you we return. Allah then reminds us of that. And He says in the Quran so powerfully and so beautifully, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And so we test you all with a small dose of fear, and a small dose of hunger, and a loss of what? Of wealth, of life, was samarat. And Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says this word samarat, fruits. Imam Shafi'i says this is the loss of children. And you can notice, subhanAllah, when you're reading the ayah, the first word is the most important, and the last word is the most important. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, we will surely test you. And when you're building up to suspense, right, you go from the least to the highest. Allah that mentions, He says, khawf is something, fear is something. But it's there, it's not there. Hunger might come or might not come. He goes and says, wealth, you lose it, you can regain it, no problem. Loss of family members, that also happens. But loss of children is the absolute worst. Loss of children is the absolute worst, Allah that describes in the Quran. He goes, and in the ulama, right, Imam Suyuti wrote an entire book on this topic. He goes and says on the idea about losing a child is what? It is the wound of the heart that will never heal. It is the wound of the heart that will never heal. It is the burning sensation in the qalb that will never have anything to douse the flames. This experience of losing a child is something that people should be careful of and make dua to Allah to protect us and keep us safe from it, Ya Rabbil Alameen. It is something that people own, and I remind any parent that has lost it. Allah Ta'ala says as a rule in the Quran, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعْهَا. He will never test you unless you can take the weight of the test. He will never test you unless you can take the weight of the test. Those who have been tested with this are from the greatest of the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the greatest of the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, provided that they are patient and they're forbearing. They're continuing to live life like they're supposed to. And they don't go around cursing or slandering or regretting or saying, why did Allah do this? If they're making firmness on this, they're being firm on this idea, this concept of patience. They're from the greatest slaves of Allah. How do we know this? Because in the Quran, you'll find many stories of people losing their children. What do you find? The story of Musa alayhi's mother. She had to give her child up into the for the river. She doesn't know if her child will come back or not. Her heart becomes broken because of it. You're going to find the story of Ya'qub alayhi salam. Ya'qub alayhi salam lost his son at a young age. He didn't know if his son was alive or dead. But he said, فَصَبْرٌ jameel. He had patience as well. You'll find the same story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where the greatest of all Ibrahim alayhi salam's tests, the greatest of all his tests, out of everything that he went through, being almost thrown in a fire to be tested with his community, to debate his community, and to abandon his house, to leave the house of his father. From all the tests Ibrahim alayhi salam went through, everything he passed, Allah said, final test is what? You have to sacrifice your son. It's the greatest of all tests, whenever you look at it. Even Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam had to receive this test as well from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or rather this teaching for this ummah. The teaching for the ummah of what? How do you deal with the loss of children? How do you deal with it? If you've lost one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has lost many. He's lost all of his daughters alayhi salatu wasallam. He lost all of his sons, except for Fatima radiallahu anha, who passed away 6 months afterwards. He lost his grandchildren as well alayhi salatu wasallam. He lost his beloved uncle. He lost his father and mother. He lost his grandfather. Allah Ta'ala only tests the loss of children and the loss of lives with people who can really take it. People who can really take it. And so for those people who are struggling, first and foremost, know that Allah Ta'ala will not give you a test you cannot handle. It's only within your capacity to handle it, or else He would never give it to you. He knows you can do it, He knows you can pass it, and He knows He's going to give you something great for it. Because why? At the end of the ayah about testing, Allah Ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give congrats to those people who are patient. أَلَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبًا. That if any calamity that hits them, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They say, look, I only belong to Allah. I'm only the property of Allah. When Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu lost his son, when Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu lost his son, the Prophet wrote him a letter and said, he made dua for him first. He said, oh Mu'adh, may Allah grant you the best. May Allah give the best to you. May Allah give the best for your children. Allow you to handle this burden that Allah has given you. But know that Mu'adh, he tells Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, because he's his teacher. So the Prophet is the teacher of the Sahaba, right? He goes and says, know Mu'adh, that if someone were to give you something as a loan, and he were to ask back for his loan, you have no right to say, I don't want to give you back your loan. In other words, what he's saying is what? And the Prophet explains it to him. He says, know that your life, know that your property, know that your children are all gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever Allah wants to take back a gift, He has the right to take back His gift. And he said, but Allah has replaced the gift with reward. Allah has replaced the gift with reward. Allah will give you thawab in the place of what He's taken from you. And Allah will give, and He will keep your child safe for you with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will keep him safe with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of judgment. Allah does mention, it's beautiful, and I want everyone to remember this. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because people think that my child is gone. No, your child is not gone, he's remaining. He's staying, she's staying, she's there for you, she's waiting for you, she's there waiting for you when you get to that side. It's always, and this is a bitter pill to swallow. It's a bitter pill to swallow. When they say, Ya Rasulullah, what is the benefit of my children? The Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked. The Prophet said that if they go before you, there'd be tremendous benefit for you. If they go before you, there'd be tremendous benefit for you. It's a very bitter pill to swallow. But why? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went in one of his dreams, he saw the two angels came to him and they took him on this entire night journey where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through different visions and he saw different places. What's going to happen to the grave of this person? What's going to happen to the grave of that person? Then he saw it in a beautiful place. He came to a beautiful garden. Extraordinary garden, amazing garden. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He saw there was this one man there, and he was playing with all these children around him. This huge band was there, and all these little kids were playing amongst him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the end of the dream, he says, oh, to the angels, please tell me what happened in this dream. And when they come up to this part about this man playing with the children, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informed by the angels, oh Prophet of Allah, you saw that garden was a garden of Jannah. And you saw that man was Ibrahim. And you saw the children, those are the children of the Muslimin who died when they were so young. When they died when they were young, they'll be with Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says another hadith very beautifully. He says that all the children of the believers are waiting with their father Ibrahim and their mother Sarah alayhi salam. Because why? When you need to go somewhere, you give your children to the grandparents. You give your children to the grandparents. Allah Ta'ala says, when you can't take care of them, don't worry. I gave it to the best people who can take care of them. Their grandparents, Ibrahim and Sarah alayhi salam. It's a beautiful way. What do you have to worry about? When
the Prophet ﷺ said that the most merciful, the most compassionate, the most loving Allah that will be with a slave is when he hits the qabr. You think you had a good life here. You think you had a good life here. Just wait till you get to your grave. And if you loved Allah and Allah loves you, you'll find how good of a host Allah Ta'ala can be. Why do you have to worry about your kids when they're with Arwahamur Rahimeen, Irahimul Masakeen, Dhal Quwatil Mateen, Shadidul Iqab, Azizun Zuntiqam, Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram? What are you worried about when they're with the best of the people, the best of all beings, the best of all of existence, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, when they're with Arhamur Rahimeen, the most merciful of those who have mercy, the one who loves the orphans, the one who loves the poor, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the one of might and strength. Where did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say the children are? They said they're under the arsh of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They're waiting under the throne of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They're waiting for what? And this is what I mentioned earlier before, that it's a bitter pill to swallow. It's a bitter pill to swallow. But we must swallow this fact and this reality. Because they went first, they're better for us. The Prophet said in the dua of janazah, if you remember the dua of janazah for children is what? وَجْعَلْهُ لَنَا ذُخْرًا وَفَرَطًا أو كما قال. It's mentioned what? That make this child for us a treasure. And make this child for us someone who goes before us. To make sure they lead the way for us into Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ, he was in a gathering of women one time. And he said to all the women folk, he said, oh sisters, that whoever loses three children, Allah will make between them and the fire Jahannam a hijab. They'll have a barrier between them and Jahannam. And then one sister said, ya Rasulullah, what about two children? The Prophet ﷺ said, even two children. And then that one, the other sisters were saying, man, we should have asked about one. So one of the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he goes and says, ya Rasulullah, when he hears this hadith later, he says, ya Rasulullah, what about losing one child? Then the Prophet ﷺ says, even losing one child. Aisha radiallahu anhu was with the Prophet ﷺ. She hears this beautiful narration. And she says, ya Rasulullah, what about someone who's lost no children? Because Aisha radiallahu anhu never had any kids. So she was asking about herself. She said, ya Rasulullah, what about someone who had no children? And the Prophet ﷺ says, ana faratu ummati, la yusaba misli. Someone, la yusaba bi misli. The Prophet ﷺ said, I am waiting for my ummah on the other side. Because they never had a trial or a test like me. Losing me is the greatest of all masa'ib. If we only understood this reality, that we knew that we lost our Nabi Muhammad ﷺ. The same Nabi ﷺ, before we were born, he was crying for us. The same Nabi ﷺ, in his grave, in his qabr, he's still getting salat and salam from us. And Hadith al-Bazzar mentions that he gets happy when he sees our good deeds. And he gets presented the evil deeds of the ummah and he makes tawbah for us. He asks istighfar, ya Allah protect them. The same Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on Qiyamah. The same Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that he asks Allah the permission over and over before, you know, not even entering Jannah. Making sure that, ya Allah, how many of my ummah can I save from Jahannam? Ya Allah, save more of my ummah from Jahannam. The same Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he lost his own child, Allah revealed the surah, inna atainaka al-kawthar. We're going to give you the kawthar, this abundant good. What is the abundant good again? What do the ulama write? It says that the abundant good that Allah has promised him is that they said that, oh Nabi, oh Muhammad, you're going to be cut off. And Allah said, oh Nabi Muhammad, my Nabi, my Rasul, my Habib, you'll never be cut off. Because even though your offspring won't be there, I'll make thousands upon millions upon billions of people who will follow you to the Day of Judgment. And that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam becomes happy. Because why? Because you and I are the happiness of Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We should remember this and understand this. That when we lose a child, when we lose a child, don't depress yourself, don't become saddened. Because you are the happiness of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are his joy. You are the thing that makes his heart become happy again, alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he lost his own kids, you and I make him happy, alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What else did these children benefit with? Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that they will first create this hijab between them and the fire. It's mentioned about people who have miscarriages. Many sisters come and they say, oh Imam, I had a miscarriage, and my heart breaks. You know, my heart explodes for these sisters. May Allah make it easy for them. Mm-hmm. But the idea is what? The Prophet ﷺ said that someone who experiences a miscarriage and the baby comes out too early, this baby will be waiting for them on the Day of Judgment. That Allah says, the Prophet ﷺ said that the six, the miscarriage child will pull his mother or father into Jannah. Will pull his mother and father into Jannah. What can we say? That they're waiting under the arsh because why? Under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are ponds. There are huge, huge ponds. And they have lots of water there. And so while everyone is thirsty on the day of on the day of judgment, where the sun is so close, like a mile away, and people are sweating because of that, the children under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at their mother and father, and they look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they look up. Allah ta'ala looks and He looks at the children and He says, oh beloved children, what are you looking for? What are you worried about? And they'll say, Ya Allah, our parents are thirsty on the day of judgment here. They're sweating. We want to give them some water. So then they grab the water and they give it to their parents on the Day of Judgment, subhanAllah. What are we worried? We are We are thinking that this is a bad thing. We're thinking that this thing is difficult for us. It's a difficult time, and I know this, and I wish I can, you know, there's only so much we can sympathize with this matter. Again, our hearts break because why? The believers are just like one body. But we have to remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan. He has a very deep plan. This is not the end, it's just the beginning. Malik ibn Dinar rahimahullah ta'ala says so beautifully. He mentions this story, and I mentioned the story before, and I just want to remind everyone, for myself and for everyone here. Malik ibn Dinar rahimahullah ta'ala, he's a great muhaddith. You find him narrated in all books of hadith, mashallah. Great muhaddith. But before that, he said, when they asked him, how did you become so great? He said, I wasn't this great before. I was actually a person who used to drink. He said, I used to drink a lot. You could call me an alcoholic. That's what he used to tell the people. He said, but what happened was what? I had this very beautiful daughter. Very beautiful daughter. And so she was like she's samratul qalb. She's the fruit of my heart, you know? This is the words of the Prophet ﷺ as well. Where Nabi ﷺ, when Allah talks to his angels, but the angels of death, he talks to them and says, did you take away my servant's son? And the angels say, Ya Allah, yes we did. Then Allah asked the angels, did you take away the fruit of his heart? SubhanAllah. And the Prophet and the angels say, Ya Allah, yes we did. Then what did my slave say? Allah asked the angels. Then the angels say, your slave only said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and he praised you, Ya Allah. He said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, we only belong to Allah, it's his property. And we're going back to him anyways. Either go now or go later. You don't have a choice of staying here. That's never been a choice. We all have to go. And so then the angels say, Ya Allah, he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and he praised you, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Then Allah says, oh my angels, bear witness that I'm going to make him a house, a praiseworthy house in Jannah. An exclusive house in Jannah for him. That this house will be what? With him, his wife, his kids, everyone that he loves, his family will be in this house, inshallah ta'ala. Right, this is a beautiful thing. Malik ibn Dinar rahimahullah ta'ala talks about his own daughter. And he goes and says that I loved her so much. But she used to see the alcohol glass in my hand. She used to see the wine glass in my hand. And she used to slap it on my hands. It used to spill on my beard. But I would never ever hurt my daughter because I loved her so much. And I said, you know what? She doesn't want me to drink. So then I put the glass away when she was around me because I was embarrassed. At the age of 2 years old, this daughter was taken from me. At the age of 2 years old, this daughter was taken from me. I was trying to live a religious life because I saw my daughter and I tried to stop drinking. But after I lost her, I completely lost it again. I went back to drinking again. He said, I completely turned 180. He went back to what he was doing before. So then he has a dream one night. And he narrates his dream to us. He says that I was on the day of judgment. I saw I was one of the people who was being pushed into Jahannam, pushed into the fire of hell. I saw myself getting pushed like that. And I saw this huge snake behind me. And it was coming after me and I was running. I was trying to run away from the snake. It was huge and massive. I saw this old man on the way. And I tried to go to the old man and say, oh, old man, can you help me? Can you help me? The man said, no, I can't help you. I'm too weak. I can't push away the snake. Maybe just keep running. Maybe you'll find something. He keeps running and running and running. He climbs over whatever he can. He goes over a cliff and he sees under the cliff is the fire of Jahannam. He's like, I can't run this way. So then he decides to turn the opposite direction. He goes back to the man again. The snake is still following him when all this stuff is happening. He goes and says, I went to the old man again and said, oh, old man, please help me. I gotta get away from the snake. He said, look, I'm too weak. I can't help you. But perhaps go over that hill over there. I heard there's a sacred treasure of the Muslims that's waiting there. I heard there's a sacred treasure of the Muslims that's waiting there. So Malik radiallahu ta'ala goes. He runs and runs. He goes to that area and he sees this beautiful box there. And the angel and the snake is right behind him. Then the angels say, the treasure of the Muslims, open up, open from your curtains, come out. And so then when the curtains open from the box, he sees that all these children run out. And they start going left and right from him. He said, they're such gorgeous and beautiful children. So his handsome children were there. And then he sees that his daughter was there. And his daughter goes and she shooes away the snake like nothing. Completely so easy for her, she just shooes it away. And then Malik is crying so much. He's hugging his daughter. He's kissing her, saying, "Daughter, I miss you so much. I love you so much. What is all of this?" And she goes, "Oh, father, the snake that was coming was your bad deeds. It's chasing you. It's attacking you every day. It's trying to push you into the fire, Jahannam. And that old man that you saw was your good deeds. You never did anything strong. You didn't do anything good. So the man ended up becoming weak as well." And then he said, "Then what are you all?" He said, "We are the children of the believers. We're waiting for our parents at the other side." So we're here because why? We're going to save them from their bad deeds and give them the strength to have good deeds. But he says, oh father, and she tells her father in her dream, he says, oh father, if you continue to walk this path, you might be a person of Jahannam. You have to change, oh father. So after the Malik radiallahu anhu, he completely abandoned all the drinking. He became a great scholar of hadith. He became a great scholar of hadith. And I remind myself and I remind everyone here, for those people struggling with this loss and sacrifice, right? Again, what we mentioned in the beginning was what? It is a pain that will never really heal. It is a hole in the heart that you never can actually fill up with anything. It is something that will remain there. But what you have to understand, what you and I have to understand, is that Allah knows best for us. And He's not taking them away, He's just holding them on the other side. He's not taking them away. No one should ever believe that I've lost my children. That's not what that means. They're waiting on the other side for me, inshallah ta'ala. But the thing is this, and our book of deeds are always intertwined, we're all connected here. My book of deeds is connected to my parents, and my parents' book of deeds is connected to me. My parents' book of deeds is connected to me. Like we mentioned the ayah in the beginning, that whoever is a believer and does good deeds, their children will be connected with them, inshallah ta'ala. That reality is such that as high as you go, that's as high as they will go, inshallah. That if you go higher, they will go higher. Do not become a person that after such a calamity, I turn my back on Islam. I turn my back on the deen. It will not change anything. The Prophet ﷺ tells Mu'az, "Oh Mu'az, it's not going to change anything by crying and weeping and becoming depressed. The only thing you can change is your attitude and your idea about it. We can only change our idea and attitude. My daughter that has went is just waiting for me. My son that has went is just waiting for me. And I'm waiting to see him as well. I got to live the best life, the most pious life, the most taqwa life, the most muttaqi life that I can. So that way when we go to Jannah together, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq for ourselves and for all the parents and all the people who are struggling and for our brother Salah Faraz who just lost his child and for all the parents that we've received loss after loss after loss. Allah grant all the children done the fiddos, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah put nur in the qubur for them, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah forgive all their sins, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Allah grant them jannah fiddos for Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah give sabr jameel for their families, Ya Allah. Let them embrace it, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Let them take it, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Ya Allah, you would never test someone except something they can handle, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the hearts become empty, Ya Allah. The hearts become barren, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you fill it up with your love, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. You're the only one, Ya Allah, that can take the place in the heart, Ya Allah. You're the one that only remains with us when no one else is with us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, give sabr to these families, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Make it easy for them to go through their loss, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Let them become stronger believers at the end, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. And unite all of us, all the believers with Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the day of judgment, Ya Allah. And grant us all jannah fiddaus with Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. For those who make sunnah can do so, inshallah.